Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, where we want to give you tips on staying healthy and even expose common myths about health and aging so you can enjoy a healthier and active life in the amazing South Sound. Brought to you by Dr. Jennifer Penrose, owner of Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy.
Hello and welcome to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast. My name is Dr. Jennifer Penrose, owner of Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy, an outpatient clinic in Lacey, Washington. And today we are going to talk about Achilles tendonitis. So causes, risks, and cures. It is the second most common walking and running injury. So this is something I see in my clinic quite a bit. And with all the people walking and running these days, we are certainly seeing a fair amount of an uptick in Achilles tendonitis. So what is Achilles tendonitis? It is pain in the area of the Achilles tendon, which is on the back of your ankle heel area. So from your heel, if you go up about 2 to 6 centimeters from the heel, that is usually the most common area where people are having pain. Sometimes it can be right at the bottom of your heel. That's more rare. It's called insertional Achilles tendonitis, and that one is harder to treat and harder to overcome. It is possible, but it is a bit harder. And it basically comes on the course of it. Like in the beginning, what you'll probably notice if you've had it is it'll come on at the beginning of a walk or a run, and then it'll start to feel better as you're moving. And then it'll also kind of hurt afterwards or towards the end. Then as it progresses, as it gets worse, you'll start to have pain the whole time that you're running and walking. There's a few tests you can kind of see if it bothers you. If you are standing on your tiptoes or doing calf raises, you're going to have more pain in that Achilles region usually, or going up or down stairs usually increases the pain. Morning pain can often be present or after sitting for a long time and then you get up and move around. And you may be wondering, why is that? I was resting. Exactly. The tendon doesn't get a good blood supply. So if you're sitting for a while, that is going to be an irritant to it when you get up and move. So tendons don't get good blood supply. Therefore, if you're sitting for a while, sleeping right afterwards, and you start moving, it's going to let you know that it's irritated. So it seems a little bit counterintuitive because you've been resting, but it really does talk to people when they've been sitting for too long. So, you know, try to move around a little more, get blood flow to it. This is also why it takes a long time for tendons to heal, is their lack of blood flow. They can be pesky things to heal. And I've had two different tendonitis. One was tennis elbow and one was a little bit of Achilles. So it definitely can take a while to really be 100% again. So I wanted to walk through, like I said, causes, risk, and cures. And the best way to do that sometimes is to sort of paint a picture through a patient and their story of their symptoms and kind of what we did in the clinic to give you an idea. Makes it a little more interesting as well when I can put it through the eyes of a patient. So we had a patient, and we'll just call her Tammy. She had Achilles tendonitis, and what we found is that she primarily was due to stiffness in her foot and ankle. So if you're sitting there right now, if you try to move your foot up, you can tell sometimes if you can't move it up very far, you're probably very stiff in your ankle. And if you do this with your knee straight and then move your foot, you may feel a pretty good pull in the back of your calf. And you may already know that you're a very tight person. Most of us know whether we're flexible or really not flexible at all. So that extra stiffness in the ankle and also in the calf or foot area, if you just feel generally kind of you run a little stiff, that is a risk factor. And Tammy definitely had that. So we used things like our hands to mobilize her joints in her ankle. And we used what's called an instrument augmented soft tissue mobilization. It kind of looks like a little metal
tool to kind of work on that tendon and on her calf to release it. Some people call it scraping, but we're not that brutal with it. It can be. So we use that. We can use ultrasound as well to help increase blood flow to the tendon. I really find that the massage techniques work the best, and getting the patient moving increases blood flow more than ultrasound. And that's also supported by literature. So basically, Tammy started to feel better within 2 weeks due to that increased blood flow to the tendon. The other thing that we did right away, and if you're really suffering from this right now, this is a great tip to use early on, is to use a heel wedge in your shoe, about 12 millimeters. And so when you put that little heel lift in your shoe, it raises your heel up a little bit. So it gives slack to the tendon. And so it's not being pulled on and irritated. So it lets it rest and heal, so to speak. So yeah, you want to stay in your shoes all the time, anytime you're standing or walking, and use that heel lift. However, you do have to slowly wean out of that over time. So we give guidance with our patients on how to do that and when to do that and how to do it gradually so that they don't end up frustrated. So there's a little bit of nuancing of how to go about doing that, but definitely using the heel lift in the shoe is a great way to calm that tendon down. It is important to note, though, if you have it on one side, then the other side, you kind of are offset a little bit, one leg a little bit higher than the other, longer than the other. So it's important to note that you don't want to do this for very long because you don't want to create another problem in your knee or your hip or your back or elsewhere. And if you try the heel lift and it creates another problem, obviously get rid of it. So usually we can get away with that for, you know, a little bit of time and not create another problem. So, and I've had some people who just put it in both shoes for the time being. So there's that option too. In other words, there's lots of ways. There's not just one way. So the other thing we found is she had weakness in her calf muscle, which I think people are surprised about this. I think they think people with Achilles tendonitis must just be a complete overuse, because I think most people have heard about tendonitis and that it comes on with overuse or a rapid increase in activity and training, which yes, it can. However, when you're weak in that area, then when you go to do something, it really strains on the attachment point, which is your Achilles. So that is something we had to work on with her as well, is some strengthening for her calf without irritating the Achilles, which is tricky, which is why you need to see a physical therapist usually for how to strengthen an area without irritating it. And then her big toe as well. And that's a critical piece to pushing off when you walk and when you run. And most people don't give a lot of thought to that, but it is important to really push off that big toe and to strengthen that muscle. It's actually a pretty big muscle if you look on an anatomy chart. The other thing we looked at, which I think I've talked about before in podcasts with injuries, especially with runners and walkers, and in my book, Run Forever, The Secrets to Common Running and Walking Injuries, we watched her walk on the treadmill with slow motion video analysis. And that we could really see that she landed on the outer border of her heel. And then as she accepted weight onto her arch, she would rapidly collapse her arch. So pronation in and of itself is not bad. We need to pronate to accept weight. And that's a normal part of the foot mechanics when we walk or run. It's a matter of how fast somebody does it and how far the amount. So for her, she went really quickly and it would whip the Achilles tendon when she would do that, when her heel would kind of move in that direction. So I think in your own mind, you could understand if you're whipping the tendon with every single step, eventually that's going to cause some repetitive strain and trauma to that tendon. And that's what was happening. And so we did put an insert in there to help control that motion so the Achilles tendon didn't whip anymore and she felt a lot better. So those were two things really early on that really made a big difference to get her going faster to healing, was that heel lift piece in the beginning, And then also looking at her walking mechanics and addressing what was really one of the root causes of the problem. And her body had gotten away with it for so long. It's amazing to me, the human body, how it can put up with stress. And so I often get runners later on in life that are like, well, I've done this all my life. Why is this coming on now? And it's just sort of, well, you got away with it and your body did well coping with it. But now it needs a little bit of support here so the mechanics don't continue to degenerate this tendon. And our tissues just aren't the same exactly. They don't tolerate as much bad ergonomic stress, as how I would put it, as when we are younger. The video analysis captures 240 frames per second. So when you watch this in slow motion, you can really, really see it. But when you just watch someone walk, you can barely catch it if you know what you're looking for. So it's really important to have slow motion analysis done if you're having pain with walking or running at some visit. It doesn't necessarily have to be the first visit, but within the first few visits, it should definitely be done and analyzed to see. Sometimes that first visit, there's so much to measure and look at and talk to you and get to know your goals and your pattern and your history that there isn't always time on the first visit. But there definitely should be, if that's your one of your complaints is pain with running and walking, then getting a slow motion analysis done is so important to putting all the pieces together. So that was really helpful for her. And then we found that her second toe, so this was part of the initial evaluation just in terms of analyzing your body structure. So it's important that the therapist takes the time to look at your bony structure. Sure, her second toe was longer than her first. And this is called a Morton's toe. I'm sure Dr. Morton, right? About a third of the population has this. So it's normal, but it's important to understand what this does to your running and walking mechanics and for Achilles tendonitis in particular. When your second toe is longer than your first, you can't push off your first toe, your big toe, which is what it's designed for, is what it should be happening. It's a bigger bone. It's meant to take more stress. So if most of the weight now is being pushed off by the second toe because that's longer, it's going to stay in contact with the ground longer. It's going to be the last thing that leaves the ground. That's where you'll get stress fractures at that second toe, oftentimes second and third toe. How do we deal with a Morton's toe? So I'm sure all of you are looking at your toes right now trying to figure out like, hey, is my second toe longer than my first? We put a shim basically under that first toe area in the insert, under the insert, so that it kind of artificially lengthens your first toe. And then you can actually feel that in your shoe initially, and you can feel yourself pushing off the big toe. And then that weight doesn't drift over to the second and third toe as much. So yes, you're going to feel something in your shoe a little bit. So there's a way in which we do it at our clinic to help with that. So those are kind of the main things that stuck out when we were treating her. So there was a fair amount of hands-on. Like I said, she was stiff and we had to use our hands to manipulate some of her ankle joints and the Achilles tendon. And then weakness, we had some strengthening exercises, some stiffness things that she also had to work on for stretching. And then the orthotic as well that was put in there, and then the shim. So this all took a certain number of visits to put all this together. It's not like we can solve all of that on the first day, but we gave her definitely a good picture of what all was contributing to the Achilles tendonitis.
As a listener to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, we're offering a free 20-minute physical therapy consultation with a physical therapist to help us determine how we can best help you. To sign up, simply mention that you listened to this episode and contact us at info@penrosept.com or call us directly at 360-456-1444. That's 360-456-1444. And now, back to the show.
I think it's important to note risk factors, so I wanted to go over that. So there's three top risk factors for Achilles tendonitis: the weak calf, and then the stiffness, so the decreased ankle dorsiflexion is what it's called. That's when I told you earlier to move your foot up towards you, and that angle of your ankle if it's pretty stiff. And then the opposite as well, if you have excessive pronation in your foot. So we kind of talked about how that works. That weakness of your calf when you run, you will compensate with increased flexion or bending of the knee and hip. So if you're weak in your calf, it changes how you walk and run a little bit. When you land, you'll be bending your knee more because your calf is a little weak. And when that happens, that puts more stress on the Achilles tendon. So that alters your walking form and your running form. And that can lead to developing other problems as well. So it's one of those, the weakness piece of it, I think people aren't as aware of. They're more aware of stretching their Achilles. And actually, that's a little good tangent to go down for a moment. If you stretch something that hurts, like the Achilles tendon, sometimes you can actually make it worse. So be careful. I'm all for stretching that tight calf and getting some deep tissue work done on that calf, because the tight calf pulls on the Achilles tendon and irritates that more. But as for stretching the Achilles, when I have my people stretch for Achilles tendonitis, I want them to feel the stretch in the calf only. I really don't want them to feel much in the Achilles during a static calf stretch at the wall, for example. So we did have to teach Tammy how to run correctly. I'm going to circle back to what we were just talking about with the knee being bent too much on landing and the hip. And we did see that with her too. And I don't know that I pointed that out. So definitely there were some sessions where running on a treadmill with a mirror in front was helpful. And then periodically videotaping from behind and showing her progression and improvements was really helpful. So additional risk factors. So those are the top three that I just went over. And then other things, training errors, like increasing mileage, intensity, and hills. So what I find with people when they take on training for running, or they sign up for a race and they haven't been running as consistently, is they will start to add volume and speed and hills in the same week. And that usually leads to problems, especially if they have those previous risk factors of stiffness and weakness or over pronation. So be careful when you're adding, that you're not adding all those variables into your weekly program. Be careful about those increases with hills, intensity, and increased mileage all at the same time. Inappropriate shoes or orthotics for your foot type. This one is a real common one. I've had people come in and, you know, let's say they've been training for the last month to 2 months and they're running into problems, and I ask about shoes. I always ask about shoes, and they have switched to a different shoe. It's a brand new shoe, but it's a different brand, different type, a different heel drop, and that's usually the culprit a lot of times. So, and it could be, again, it could be multiple factors, but it's just something for you to consider. The sudden change to the zero drop shoes when you've been running or walking in an 8 to 10 millimeter drop, that your Achilles tendon doesn't tolerate that very well, especially when you're increasing mileage. So that's a real common one. The zero drop shoe, what they're trying to do is just keep you more natural to the ground, right? More closer to barefoot running type mentality, better posture, etc. And so I'm a fan of them. However, you do need to progress to the zero drop shoe gradually, especially if you're a runner and you've been running in a 10 millimeter shoe. So you can look up your brand, your shoe online and Google it and find out what your heel drop is with the shoe that you have. And just be aware that most other shoes that you're wearing around, you can look those up too. They all have a bit of a, you know, built in, whether it's 8 millimeter, 10 millimeter heel drop. What you wear all day really matters. So going from 8 to 10 or a 12 millimeter shoe and dropping down to a 4 to a zero, that's a big change. You may not think it is, but it is when you're running and walking and putting miles on, and especially if you have a tight Achilles tendon and you just tend to be a stiff person, that's usually where the trouble lies. So just be aware that if you're trying to get to more of a zero drop shoe, I think it's a great goal, but be cognizant of maybe doing it gradually and be aware of what other shoes you're wearing during the day. So walking around, which brings me to another point of an additional risk factor for developing Achilles tendonitis. Walking during the day in shoes where your foot feels sloppy, right? You can feel you're moving around really loosey-goosey in the shoe. That causes the Achilles tendon have to work really hard during just everyday activities, just your simple walking around. So be aware that if you have a shoe you really like to wear, but you know that you're slopping around in it. A good example is I had someone with Achilles tendonitis that loves to garden, and she had to walk, up and down some hills and just uneven terrain and in some garden boots. And once we talked about all the risk factors in her activities, she identified that this was something that was irritating her Achilles tendon because she was super sloppy in those boots. So we had to basically just figure out if we could get some kind of over-the-counter insert in them and make it a tighter fit or a different boot altogether. And I think we went with the insert. I think it worked. But we did solve that issue. And then she didn't feel like it would flare her up every time she went out to do her gardening. And she had horses as well. I mean, she was out in the yard and their property a lot. So it definitely was a big component to her everyday world. Other risk factors for Achilles tendonitis are medical conditions. So they have found that obesity, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, and diabetes, that those are additional risk factors for getting Achilles tendonitis. So just in general, overall, all health considerations to look at as well. So a physical therapist definitely will evaluate your foot and ankle, your range of motion, your weakness of that calf, your alignment, foot structure, and then they'll look at your standing posture and your walking and running form, walking form, depending on if it's affecting you with those activities. So hopefully that gives you kind of a good overview of causes and risks, and then things, as I highlighted through Tammy's story, how we solved a lot of the issues. And I hope you see how multifactorial it is, that Achilles tendonitis isn't simple enough where you just go look up on Google and YouTube and try to solve it. You might get a few good little tips here and there, but putting all the pieces together and solving it for you, really finding a good physical therapist that enjoys gait mechanics, the walking and the video analysis, and putting all the pieces together, I think is really what solves it. Like I said, Achilles tendonitis can be kind of pesky and take a while. It can take a couple months sometimes, depending on how long you kind of let it fester. The longer you let it go, the tendon starts to change. The tendon kind of degenerates a bit. And so the healing just takes longer. I don't know how else to best tell you, but don't put it off, I think, is really the message there. I didn't get into a lot of exercises, but one of the best ways to treat it that we use is called eccentric exercise. So eccentric is E-C-C-E-N-T-R-I-C. Eccentric exercises is the best standard, gold standard, if you will, for any tendonitis. So it's a certain way of loading the tendon that stretches it while working it. And so that is really, the literature is full of that. And that's basically the protocol that we use, is an eccentric loading protocol. So too much to get into and difficult to explain on a podcast, but certainly one of the top things to know if you end up having tendonitis, and especially Achilles tendonitis. In fact, I will cite an article that's in my book, 75 Patients with Achilles Tendinopathy, 95% of patients had symptom resolution within 6 to 8 weeks that did the eccentric program. So it's basically a lot of repetitions and slowly increasing load. And again, it's loading that tendon at the same time that it undergoes stretch. So it might be kind of hard to visualize, but it is possible. So that is, I think, some great takeaways on Achilles tendonitis and what the causes are, your risk factors, some cures, and hopefully it gives you some insight into what all a physical therapist goes through when they look at your walking and running issue, whatever that may be. So again, Dr. Jennifer Penrose, and in typical fashion, I guess I will say one of the best tips of advice is stay consistent. And something on my bucket list in the Pacific Northwest, I really want to go on a hot air balloon ride, whether it's over like the Snoqualmie area. I'm not sure exactly, but I really want to do that. And just in general, I think this upcoming fall and winter, if you can just make friends with the rain or find a way to exercise indoors, keep at it, keep up the good work. All right. Again, Jennifer Penrose with Penrose Physical Therapy. And hope to see you if you're local, if you're having any trouble with Achilles tendonitis. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, brought to you by Penrose and Associates Physical Therapy. If you want some free tips to implement right away on various problems like knee pain, back pain, running injuries, and many more issues, then jump on over to penrosept.com and download the free report that fits your needs. You will receive helpful tips right away and have the choice to email in for further questions and set up a free phone consultation. You can reach us at 360-456-1444 and info@penrosept.com. You can stay connected with us at stayhealthysouthsound.com and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast.